مبلغ في
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
Whenever you listen to a speech of Dawud Islami, they will always tell you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you probably heard them. If you come to the Ijtimaj, you probably heard many, many blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak. But have you ever thought about them? Because if you really understand the blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak, then you'll understand the position, the maqam, and the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. Today I'm going to give you, and it says here that whoever recites Salat upon me, I, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1,000 times a day, he will not die until he has seen his place in paradise. Just think about this. Isme ghor kare thoda sa. Just think about it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, that if someone recites Durood e Pak upon me 1,000 times a day, Allah azza wa jal will not allow that person to die until he has seen his place in paradise. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the authority to say this. This is the thing that we need to understand, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has this authority. If I was to say to the brother here that the cameraman, if he gives me salam, can someone make me a cup of tea? It wouldn't happen. I don't have the authority. I don't have the authority. But when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you recite Durood-e Pak upon me with 3 times during the day and 3 times during the night with love and devotion, Allah azza wa jal will forgive all the sins that you committed during the day and all the sins that you committed during the night. This is the authority. You need to understand this. You need to understand that this is the authority, the maqam, and the status of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is making this order. And when we realize, when we study the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see all of these things, we start to understand the status and the maqam that he had. You know, we are told that on the day of judgment, that people will go from prophet to prophet, and they will ask for them to intercede, and none of them will be intercede, except the final prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The final messenger, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be the person that will intercede. Why do we need a question? The day of judgment, the setting up of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercede for us on that day shows us the status and the maqam that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. And so all of these things, when you study our deen, when you study all of the things involved in it, you understand the maqam and the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has in our hearts. But in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also need to understand his character. And today, in this very, very short video, I'm going to talk a little bit about one of his aspects of his character. It is stated once that he bought a camel off a Bedouin, and he said to the Bedouin that I exchanged this for 1 vusk of dates. A vusk is the size of around 540 pounds weight of date. So the deal was done. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the camel, but when the Bedouin came to the appointed place where the dates were supposed to be, they were not there. They were not there for whatever reason, they were not there. And so he came. He came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complained. He said that I have been cheated. I have lost out here. And when the companions saw this, that a person, how dare he say to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has been cheated? And they got angry. They got angry, obviously they got angry, to the love and the respect that they had. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calmed them down and said that he has a right to speak. And he explained the situation and he said to them that he has a right to speak, he has a right to speak. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he sent the companions and he said to them, go on to such and such companion and ask them for a wask or dates and bring it as soon as possible. And tell them that I will return it afterwards. So the dates were brought and they were given to the Bedouin and the Bedouin went away. Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching us a message there. He taught us a lesson not to get anger, to control our anger, and to be honest in our dealings. Nowadays we lose our anger very, very easily. We lose our temper very, very easily. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this character. He had this character, but he had this patience inside him. He had this sabr inside him. And so whenever you hear about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever you hear a hadith, a waqiyah, something that happens in the past, don't just think of it as a story. This is something, a mistake that we make. Oh, it's a nice story. Interesting story, wasn't it? No. If a story has been related to us and passed down through 1400 years of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's been passed down through any of the pious companions, any of the buzurkan ad-din, whatever has happened, them stories have been passed down to generation to generation to generation for us to learn something from them. Not so that it's just a good bedtime story that I can tell the kids and the kids go, oh, that was a nice story, Dad. No, we should learn from these. And here we are learning in this particular event that that person, he had the right to complain. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ultimate authority at the time, like I said earlier on, he didn't get angry. He didn't even say, well, okay, let me go and check where them dates are. Maybe they were there. Maybe he didn't see them properly. Maybe he didn't go to the right place. Maybe he didn't check it out. He didn't get angry and maybe thinking to himself, oh, I asked somebody to put the dates there. They didn't put the dates there. He didn't investigate all of that. He said to this person, you are all right. You have a right to speak. And so he let this person speak. And so the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this perfect character. And it's a character that we need to analyze, we need to look at. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has told us about a perfect character. And each of these things that I'm going to mention to you, every single one of them, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a perfect example. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he said the embodiment of a good character is that a person who is the most modest, he does not harm anybody, he performs righteous deeds, speaks the truth, he speaks little, is habitual of practicing good deeds, presents himself from mistakes as much as possible, avoids useless speech, is righteous, dignified, tolerant, content with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, thankful, soft-hearted, of pure character and affectionate. He should not be the one who curses, swears, backbites, is hasty, bears malice, stingy and jealous. Rather, he should be cheerful and he should love and hate only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and be pleased and displeased with someone for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So many things I mentioned there. So many characteristics I mentioned there, but each and every one of those characteristics is something that we need to focus on. Do we have malice inside us? Do we hate each other? Do we fall out with each other? Do we get angry with each other? You hear many, many stories where two brothers, they don't speak to each other. And 5 years go, 10 years go, 15 years go, and they don't speak to each other. And you ask someone, why have you fallen out with your brother? Why are you not speaking with your brother? And you know what happens? In most cases, he has to think, because he can't remember. And then he thinks, and he goes, he didn't invite me to his daughter's wedding. That's why we fell out. Or he didn't consider my daughter when he was getting his son married. He didn't do it. And because of that, them two brothers, they're not speaking with each other. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And what happens is when one brother dies, the other brother is sitting there crying. He's sitting there crying. This is not what our deen teaches. Our deen teaches us to forgive each other, to bring ties together. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his whole life, he told us to bring these ties together, to unite the Muslims together, not fall out with each other, don't have malice with each other. And nowadays what has happened is that as our houses have got higher, they say as the walls have got higher, our hearts have got smaller. That we don't forgive each other anymore. Because we think we made it, I've got enough now, I've got enough power, I've got enough wealth, I've got enough status, I don't need to forgive anybody. Why should I forgive him? He's younger than me. Why should I forgive him? He's weaker than me. Why should I forgive him? He's poorer than me. We won't forget anybody. We won't forgive anybody. But Ya Allah, please forgive me. Ya Allah, please forgive me. But I won't forgive you. I won't forgive you. I won't forgive you. But Ya Allah, please forgive me. What is this? Is this how we should be? We expect Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive all our shortcomings, all the mistakes and all the sins that we have done. But we won't forgive each other. And this is something that we need to realize. That if you want to celebrate the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want to show it, then you're not just showing the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by attending the julus once a year. The love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not by going to the mafil mullahs and staying up all night in the nathwani. The love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just by going to people's houses and having mafils. The love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a full-time job, 365 days a year, all of your life. If you want to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you need to do something about it. A pious predecessor, he said, that how do I know if I'm a mu'min? How do I know if I'm a true believer? The question was asked. We should ask this question, how do I know? And he got the reply that will be when you love Allah. There will be when you love Allah. Then he asked the question, how do I know? How do I know if I love Allah? I can say it. I can say I love Allah, but how do I know? And the pious predecessor said, this will be when you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the next question is the important one. The next question is the very important one. How do I know if I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We all claim. We all claim that we are lovers. We all claim that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but how do we know? Is it just a saying? Is it just a nara? Is it just carrying a flag? Is it just walking on the streets? Is it just on the loudspeaker doing the nara? Is this what it is? The reply was given. This will be when you obey his orders. Follow his sunnah. Love the people who love him and hate the people who hate him. Now do we obey the orders of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we follow his sunnah? Do we love the people who love him? Because the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a unique love. You know, the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like any other love. It's not like any other love. When someone loves someone that you love, you become jealous of them. When someone loves someone that you love, you become jealous of that person. But when it comes to loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if someone loves the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you love that person as well. You love that person as well because he loves the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But do we follow? Do we obey? Do we adopt his sunnah in our lives? This is the question that we need to ask. We claim, we make these claims that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but do we obey him? Easy commands he's given. Pray 5 times a day and fast in the month of Ramadan. How many times has the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given us that command? How many times in the final khutbah he also said it as well, fast and pray 5 times a day. We claim to love, do we pray? We claim to love, do we fast in the month of Ramadan? You know, and it's something that nobody can say, oh, I didn't know that. You know, you get a 6-year-old child here, a 7-year-old child here, an 8-year-old child here, and you say to that child, do you know the fiqh of inheritance? He will say no. Obviously, it's very hard, it's very difficult. But grab any 7-year-old child and say, do you know about namaz? And he'll say, yeah, I know that namaz is fard. No Muslim does not know that namaz is not fard upon them. So the question is, why are we not reading it? Is there anybody here that says, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that namaz was not fard. That's fard. I didn't realize. Oh, I'll make an intention from today and do it. We all know it. So what is our excuse? And this is something that we need to look at. If we claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we need to follow him. We need to obey him. We need to be proud of who we are, proud that we are Muslims, that Allah has blessed us. That we are the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we have this blessing. And we need to be proud of it and show it, not be afraid of it. Not make excuses about, oh, I can't read my salah because of this, because of that. And what has happened, my dear Islam brothers, is that our deen, our love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our adopting the sunnah, has become a hobby. It's become a hobby. And what is a hobby? I'll tell you what a hobby is. A hobby is something that you do if you've got time. Some of the brothers here that know me know that I like working on cars. I bought a car 6 years ago to restore. And in the last 6 years, I've not even spent one day on it because it's my hobby. I haven't got time. And when I get time, inshallah, I'll work on the car, inshallah. But that's what's happened with our deen. Our deen has become our hobby. We got time, we'll read our namaz. Not got time, it doesn't matter. We got time, we'll read the Quran. If we've not got time, it doesn't matter. Month of Ramadan comes, we look at our work schedule. Oh, I'll be doing overtime this month. Oh, I won't be able to fast all the 30 days this month because I've got overtime, I've got this, I'm going to be doing this. We make all the excuses in advance. And so our deen has become our hobby. And how can Muslims be successful if the deen is the hobby? Deen is something that you've got time. If I've got time, I'll read my namaz. If I haven't got time, never mind. If I've got time, I'll come to the masjid. If I'm not, then it doesn't matter. When it comes to paying our zakat, when it comes to performing our hajj, again, we say, oh, you know what? I'll do my kitchen extension first. I'll get the koti rebuilt back home first. I'll get my daughters married first. Hajj is farz upon you today. So I'm imploring you today that if hajj is farz upon you, make the intention today. That if you have the money, if hajj has been farz upon you, make the intention today and perform the hajj as soon as possible. This is what our deen is teaching us. And in that example that we saw that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam controlled his anger. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the strong person is not he who can throw his opponent to the ground. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the strong person is he who controls his anger. You may be strong, you may be hard, you can pick me up and throw me down, but can you control your temper? And what happens if we don't control our temper, then things, all sorts of things can happen. There's an instance once, many, many years ago. A person is at work. He has a hard time at work. He comes home. His wife starts arguing with him because the kid's been crying all day. They get into an argument, husband and wife. The child's still crying in the background. The husband picks up the child by the ankles. Picks up the child by the ankles and starts hitting his wife with the child. And the child dies. Why? Because he lost his temper. We need to learn to control our temper and make sure that what we do is correct. Because if we cannot control our temper, then everything will go wrong. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the exact perfect character. Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran, and indeed you possess exemplary character. Surah Al-Qalam, verse number 4. And so this is, if we look at the character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he dealt with people. And when he went to Taif there, before the migration to Medina, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif. And when he went to Taif, he went there and he gave them nikki kidawat, invited them to the deen of Islam. And he went to some influential people's houses. But instead of listening to him, instead of accepting his word, they got angry with him and pushed him out into the street. And the children, he got the children of the town, got rocks and stones and started throwing them at the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blood came down from his forehead and his body and went down his body, and his blessed sandals, the blood stuck to his feet and the sandals, and they stuck the sandals to his feet. And as he was coming out of the town and he sat down to rest, he looked above him and there was a cloud there protecting him from the sun. And Hazrat Jibreel al-Islam came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you wish, two mountains that are covering this city will crush and kill all of these people. Just remember now, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from this time people have thrown stones at him. People have persecuted him. People have called him all sorts of names and cursed him. You know when you're hurt? You know when you're in pain? Then that time you want to take revenge. Yeah, because that's the peak moment. Later on when you've calmed down, maybe you don't want it. But that moment you don't think straight. But even at that time, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. No, because from their offspring, inshaAllah, they will be Muslims. So even at that time, when he had the opportunity, he didn't take revenge. And this is also a characteristic that we need to learn. Sometimes what happens is you want to take revenge, but you can't. Because you're not strong enough. You're not powerful enough. You're not wealthy enough. Whatever it is, the true test of your character is if you can take revenge and you don't take revenge. Taking revenge is easy. The question is can you control yourself at that time? And the famous incident when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims conquered Makkah. When they went into Makkah, everybody in the whole city of Makkah was scared. They went and hid in their houses because they realized that this person, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the person that we had persecuted. This is the person that we had abused. This is the person that we had thrown rubbish on. This is the person that we caused all sorts of trouble on. This is the person whose family we had killed, we had martyred. Today he is conquering Makkah. Today we've got nowhere to run. And they all hid in the houses. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave them all. And when the historians read about that, when the historians read about the conquest of Makkah, they are shocked. They're amazed at the character of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time. At that time when people were in front of him, that had killed his family, that had martyred his family, that had killed his blessed uncle, they were in front of him. Then people were in front of him that had ripped out the liver of his blessed uncle and chewed it. They were in front of him. Imagine if you were in front of someone that had done something like that to your father, or to your uncle, or to your relatives, and you now had the opportunity. With a blink of an eye, they could have had their heads chopped off. But no, even at that time, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed mercy. So if you want to learn something from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want to learn something, then learn his character. Learn his character. Learn how he controlled himself. Learn how he was kind. Learn how he was gentle. Learn how he was a father. Learn how he was a friend. Learn how he was an authority. How he dealt with these situations. And if you want to have a beautiful life, then look at that. And as Muslims today, we are failing because we are not following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every single household is having problems. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, and I mentioned this many times, in his final khutbah, he said, I'll leave you two things. I'll leave you these two things. Follow them, you will never go astray. The Quran and my way. The Quran and my way. Now, where is the Quran in our houses? You're having to think. Blessed are those people that open the Quran every day. The rest of us are having to think, you know what, I think it's in that room on top of that shelf. Maybe on that shelf, but I think it's on that shelf. If that is what's happening, that's something that we need to think about. Is this happening in our house? That the only time the Quran is open is in the blessed month of Ramadan? Or are we even worse than that? That the only time the Quran is open is when someone passes away? Or are we even worse than that? That we say when someone passes away, we get somebody else. Madrasa wala, you read the Quran for us. Is this what we become? And then we wonder, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran and my way, follow them, you will never go astray. When it comes to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we don't know anything about it. What is the sunnah? Why should we follow the sunnah? We ask too many questions. Tell me why I should use miswak. Tell me why I should grow a beard. Tell me why I should wear an imamah sharif. And yet we claim to love. We claim to love. Lovers just follow, they don't ask questions. Nowadays we ask too many questions. Why? 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 If you claim to love, you don't ask why. I'm just going to give you an example to finish with. A person, he claims to love his mother. And he tells everybody, I love my mother. He wears badges saying, I love my mother. He's got posters on his window saying, I love my mother. He's got posters in his car saying, I love my mother. And one day, mum says, Beta, can you take the rubbish out? I ain't got time, mum. I'm too busy. One day, the mother says, Beta, can you do this? Can you do that? He said, no, I can't. Beta, can you, don't go there. Can you go here? He said, no, I can't. And he never listens to his mother. Yet he tells everybody, I love my mother. If a person says, I love my mother, and doesn't listen to her, what would you say about that person? You say he's a fool. He's a hypocrite. He says he loves, but he doesn't listen to her. Isn't that the same with those that we say we love, but we don't listen? We say we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we don't listen to him. We say we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we don't follow him. You know the youngsters that are here today, even the elders that are here today, you probably know more about cricket, you know more about football, you know more about politics, you know more about film stars, you know more about singers than you know about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Isn't that sad? If I was to ask the youngsters here to name me 10 footballers, they could do it. 10 cricketers, you could do it. 10 film stars, you could do it. 10 singers, astaghfirullah, you could do it. 10 politicians, you could probably do it. But if I asked the same people in this room to name me those 10 companions that were guaranteed paradise, could we do it? Can we name 10 companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can we name 10 prophets? We claim to be Muslims, we claim to be lovers, we claim to follow, but we know little about our deen. And then we wonder why. Why we've got problems. Hi, meri bachche, hi, meri bibi, hi this, hi that. We've got all these things going on. I leave you two things. Follow them, you will never go astray. The Quran and my way. The Quran and my way. And because we're not following this, then we're facing all the problems that we have. So in this month of Milad, when you attend these gatherings, where you're here to develop the love, the kalams that you listen to. These kalams that you listen to, why are they there? To develop that love. Why are these gatherings there? To develop that love. Because loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman. But loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just kalams, not just julus, not just nare, not just all of these things. Loving is to follow. Loving is to obey. Loving is to respect. Loving is to understand. Blindly. A strong statement to me, but a true lover, he blindly loves. When you see people who love people, they don't look at the negative, they only look at the positives. How many of us have read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many have read his life? How many of us have read the sacrifices that he made for us? How many people have read about the du'as that he made for the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We don't. So this is something that we need to do. Yes, attend these gatherings. Yes, attend the julus. Yes, recite the naat. Yes, listen to the naat. But also, nurture that love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your heart. And understand that he is our perfect example. And if you want to love him, you need to obey him. If you want to love him, you need to follow him. So my humble request to you is, adopt the Quran and adopt the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And don't be afraid of it. Don't be ashamed of it. And don't ask questions why. Why should I grow a beard? Why should I wear an imamah sharif? Why should I do these things? In every Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is wisdom. Every single sunnah. Maybe we don't understand. Maybe we don't understand. But there's wisdom in everyone. But I'm going to give you the wisdom of this. I'm going to give you the wisdom of this today. You know when you've got this on your face, people don't invite you to nightclubs. They don't invite you to places where alcohol's being served or drugs are being given. They don't invite you to these places. What kind of invites do you get? You get invites to mehfil-e milads, to yarmishis, to ishtamas, to jalsas, to these. You get invitations to the masjid. You know, this is a weapon against shaitan. This is a weapon against shaitan. Shaitan knows, I can't invite this person to a nightclub now. I can't invite him to places where alcohol and shisha and all these sort of things are happening. No, I can't do this now. And every day when you get up and you look at yourself in the mirror, you think to yourself, well, you know what, I've got this sunnah on my face. I need to respect it. I need to respect this sunnah. And every day, this is one sunnah that other sunnahs, you have to do something. I can be asleep and I'm getting the reward of this sunnah. So learn the sunnah, adopt the sunnah. Please attend these gatherings. But don't attend these gatherings just for entertainment. Attend these gatherings with an aim that I'm going there to develop the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my heart. I want to nurture that love. I want to improve that love. I want to get closer to my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to get closer to him. I want to understand him. I want to live my life like him. I want to admire him, respect him. And that is why you should come to these gatherings. Yeah, I pray to Allah azza wa jalla, may Allah azza wa jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah azza wa jalla, Allah give me and you the tawfiq and the ability to think about what I said. Ameen bijahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
O Muballik, for you is my prayer. O Muballik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success.